is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Hallmark New Year, New Movie movies.
Hey, I'm Panda, and I like Hallmark New Year, New Movie movies.
I'm Dan. Playoffs?
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 I despise Hallmark New Year, New Movie, New Movies. And this is
the Hallmark Podcast. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Go, go, man. Go. Who's that? What's that? Where are we here?
Where are we here?
Yeah.
Did you know that the rules for NFL playoff overtime is a safety win?
A safety win.
That's unbelievable.
I didn't know that before.
That's crazy.
Now, we were in a sticky picket here, folks.
Yeah.
Because we got to record.
Yes. It's Sunday night.
Sunday night. There's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
And a game was going into overtime. And we're like, well, what do we do here?
So we have it on, but we realized right before we were going to record that if you're watching on the YouTube, you can kind of catch a glimpse.
Yeah.
In the screen there.
A little bit.
That it's on in the background. And this we thought about it and we said, from a professional standpoint, should we turn this off?
And we all agreed, absolutely, we probably should.
But from a standpoint of us trying to do the best for us.
Yeah.
we decided to keep it on.
As fan of sport, of humans competing.
Yes.
We decided not to. Yeah. Now, guys, I do have to ask you this question. It's a question that has been emailed to us many times over the last few weeks, and it is how was your weekend?
Good gracious.
Yep. Really solid, Bran. Really solid. Had a good time.
Good.
Doing what?
A lot of tasty food out there. And I got to eat some of it.
A lot good. Of tasty. Where'd
yeah, there's
go?
A lot of tasty.
I got
food.
Some Mexican food out there, and I went to Ingles, got a sub.
Do you guys remember the movie with the grilled cheese and the apple?
Oh,
and
chef.
Yeah.
I went to Noah's Dive for brunch.
Yeah, you did.
I got a grilled cheese with apple, and there was goat cheese bacon jam. Here's the thing.
Yeah, there it is.
This is something that I'm such a picky eater. I tasted it, and I immediately could tell that it works. Like, as a unit, it works.
I just
don't think I liked it. Mm-hmm. But I also didn't actively dislike. Given more time, I would maybe get it again and try it.
Mm-hmm. Was it the goat cheese that threw you?
I think so. I'm not a big goat boy.
I love the goat cheese.
I love the goat cheese.
What, was that a goat?
Yeah.
We have a goat on the line?
Hey, goat, I have a couple questions for you. What do you think of being used for cheese from time to time?
For it.
Was that for it?
Yeah.
I'm just glad he's nodding or I would not know.
Go Bills!
Go Boats?
Go Bills!
Go Bills. You're a Billy goat.
Yeah!
I thought you might be. You might be.
Oh, boy.
Would you consider yourself chief of the Billy goats?
No.
Okay, that sounded like something I could hear.
Okay. Yeah. Guys, people have also
My weekend was great, thank you.
So sorry. I want to know something real quick, which is this. How can people find our rankings? People have been asking, are you guys going to do your things?
Yeah. I have two answers for you.
What's
one,
that?
The Kimberly Sustad movie on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, Homeward Bound North Edition, North to the End Zone, whatever it's called.
Homeward Bound North?
North to the End Zone. We are not covering that movie.
So wait, Hallmark rebooted Homeward Bound?
And Kimberly Sustad, she had her
she
experience
shadow
with
the dog?
Air Bud. And so she's a natural fit with the talking animals. But
so she's not voicing one of the...
No.
She would be a really good sassy cat.
She would be a sassy cat.
Okay.
Sassy
cat. All right. So then who would be...
Sure.
Who would be... What are the other ones?
The Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox is Champ.
Champ. Oh, man, I don't know.
Is that Paul Campbell?
Paul Green.
Paul Green.
Yeah.
Wow.
Paul Green. Yeah.
And then the old dog is...
Shadow.
Shadow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Treat Williams.
Yeah.
Easy.
Anyway, We're not covering. A lot of people have been asking us, and we've tried to respond as many times as we could. We're not covering that movie. We typically, when it's not Christmas time, don't cover Hallmark movies and mysteries movies. But we hear a lot of good things about this movie, and so I guess we're gonna have to check it out at some point. It's just not gonna happen soon. Now, where can you find our rankings? We gave a top 10 and bottom 10.
Yeah. Yep.
With our buddy Alonzo, and it's a tradition unlike any other, and that tradition is found on Bramble Jam Plus.
It's an exclusive.
It's exclusive.
It's always been exclusive. Yeah. It always will be exclusive.
Not a new thing we're doing. No. It has always been exclusive.
Yep. It's not like, man, things are rough. What can we do? It's just one of those things, you know?
Yep.
All right, guys. Are you ready to dive into this movie?
I'm ready to dive in.
Yeah, this is...
Don't forget I love you.
Don't forget I love you.
You almost forgot.
I always forget the name.
That's right.
Don't forget... I Love You originally aired on January 22nd, 2022, and it went a little something like this. It's Taylor's 30th birthday.
Hey, happy birthday.
What did you get her?
I got her a new license plate that said 30 flirty feeling fine with no vowels in it.
You fit all of that?
Yeah. Two lines.
That's a real,
Two, no. Two lines, huh? Paid extra.
Chiefs one. That's a real Wordle situation, isn't it? She's a real organizational whiz.
Yep.
She's just always doing stuff with the organizing, and she's like, you want this? No problem. So she then sees a new guy moving in. His name is Josh. And Josh could
Hi, Josh.
Oh, hi, Mark. Could use an organizational whiz in his life. There's like boxes just like coming out of his bushes. It's wild out there. Taylor's dad gives her a gift that her mom left for her. It is a time capsule. Jordan Sparks comes out and is like, and this Christmas. So it has envelopes and they instruct her to open them one at a time. The first one is to meet someone new. So she goes to meet Josh Moore. First, she like meets her coffee maker, but her dad's like, did you really get to know her?
Yeah, you didn't really.
You really know her.
Thing you're supposed to do.
So she makes a casserole, brings it to Josh, meets his daughter. They have a wonderful night together. And all of these, we find out that all of these envelopes are to help, you know, they're like, to get her out of her box, you know what I mean? Help her to conquer fears and anxieties and stuff. And she starts doing a lot of these things with, you guessed it, Josh. They make sushi. They go on bridges. Big stuff. Mm. Now, there's also...
Goat yoga.
I love goat yoga.
There's also this other girl. There's this girl who is kind of always hanging just around. Showing up.
Sarah.
You're like, who is this girl? And Taylor doesn't ask who's this girl.
No.
Josh doesn't give up any information about who's this girl.
Why would he? That'd be too easy.
And we're always just wondering, who's this girl? And she ends up helping.
Na, 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 na.
Who's this girl? So there's Taylor comes over to help him organize his house. There's one more box he's going through it, and he finds there's a ring lying around that he puts in his back pocket for, you know, rainy day. Everyone needs a good rainy day ring. I've always said that.
Mm-hmm. That's a rainy day ring life.
And you're left wondering, what is this ring? Who is this girl? These are all questions that you're wondering.
What's that ring?
Anywho, she does her clues. She gets to the last envelope and it says, tell someone that you love them. Now, there's a lot of, you know, what does that mean? So she just tells her coworker that she loves him and she decides that doesn't count. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to tell somebody that you love them. So she goes and she goes into Josh's house. She's getting ready to say, hey, I love you. Walks in. The girl, Sarah's there with the ring. She's trying to figure out what the deal is with the ring. Josh is trying to figure out what the deal is with the ring. And Taylor's just left there. She has had, like, starts hyperventilating. She has to use the bag. Shout out to my brother Josh, who had to use the bag a lot growing up. What up, Josh?
Did he really?
Yeah. He was a very, like, he would just get a little excited.
Was he a nervous boy?
Then they'd hand him a bag. Hand him a bag. Josh had some anger issues growing up, and he'd get so mad that he'd have to bring them to a bag.
No way.
Could you not?
That guy?
Yeah.
I seriously can't imagine that.
That's why he needs the goosebumps. 62. Is there 62 goosebumps? I don't know.
When I
surely not. Anywho,
RL's still writing, baby.
RL, what's his real name?
Randy Lawrence. Randy Lawrence Stein.
We got Randy Lawrence Stein on the line. Randy, how you doing?
Hey. I'm pretty good.
What?
I'm pretty good.
Randy, what's your favorite Goosebump book that you've written?
Say cheese and die.
What?
Say cheese and die.
Say cheese and die. Got it. That's my favorite too.
Yeah.
Thank you, Randy. So she goes to talk to her dad, and her dad tells her some information. It's important information, which is, hey, your mom actually would had this capsule given to her as well, and that's what eventually led her to me, and that's how we fell in love, this whole thing. You've got to really go for it type of thing. And so back to the ring. I've realized that I skipped over this. So you're like, maybe it's just like his sister. Maybe it was a ring from... So I guess Sarah, like he thought maybe Sarah's decent enough as a person.
And as a mother figure.
As a mother figure to maybe want to propose to her. And she's like, that's not a good idea. Let's just be friends, basically. So, all
right. Thank goodness we solved that mystery.
So,
no more questions there.
Josh is at what the best I can figure, some sort of basketball practice. And she comes walking in, and they end up saying "I love you" to each other, which is all great and wonderful, and they're happy. And the basketball players all shout and cheer, and they're happy for them. And they end up kissing. And I don't know if you know this, guys. They're like, "Don't forget, I love you." And then my friends was, "Don't forget, I love you. I love you.
We love you. We did it. Is what we did."
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back.
I like it.
And we'll break this movie down with four segments here on
Deck the Hallmark.
Deck the Hallmark. We're back.
Yes, we are.
Baby, we're talking about Don't Forget.
I love you.
I love you.
Every time I think you forget briefly.
Don't forget. I love you. We have four segments to do. We're going to start with a hot take. Payne, it's great to have you back in the chair.
Hey, thanks, man.
Yeah,
good to be back in the chair, guys.
Do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I would love
hot
to.
Hot take.
Yeah.
Share with us exactly how you're feeling about this movie.
Yeah. So I got to be honest with you. A couple things on this. First of all, not a huge fan of this movie. The dialogue in this movie felt weird to me. It felt as if, and I made this comment before, it felt like somebody who was vaguely familiar with how humans are supposed to talk and act wrote a movie, with dialogue, that kind of seemed to be like human adjacent. And so that's kind of how it felt like to me. There are some good scenes by Amelia. I thought she did a really good job in this movie. So it's not on her. I just feel like the writing was a little weird to me on this movie. But yeah, overall it's we've had some real, real bad ones this January, and this is not necessarily in that category. I think this is a little bit better than that. Still, in my opinion, not the most exciting movie. There's some good scenes. I think the bridge scene's really fun. But otherwise, yeah, this movie's not getting it done for me. Would not watch again.
You got perfect pairing over this one?
Yeah, that's the question, right?
Yes,
because we all agree that Wedding Veil and Jen Lilly's movie
are terrible. Lilly's movie is the worst movie this year, hands down. Wedding Veil's right after that.
Yeah.
And then I think this one's third, and I think Perfect Pairing is a better movie.
Boy, ranking these movies.
But that is not good. That is tough.
But I will say this, and taking over my turn now.
I've been doing this for a while. You're a pro.
I think the chasm between Wedding Veil and this movie, which I also have second, is pretty big for me personally. Mm. Like this movie, if the conflict of the other girl was better,
just made sense.
Yes. Just I had a really tough, like One, the longer it went on without any sort of clue as to who she was, the more anxious I got for right. everyone involved. Sure. I felt like
you were getting anxious.
I was getting anxious about who this girl was. And the tough part was, is Josh.
The tough part was, is
Josh and Sarah, they give you so little, like, yep. even in the way they interact about what possible relationship they could have with each other. They're not siblings. They don't seem to really know each other like that. But also, clearly not at the point to where it's a ring, but are they dating? I don't even know if they're dating. So I still have so many questions about their relationship, and that, for me, is what makes this movie suffer most of all, because I actually like the two of them together. Amelia's character, she was really acting. She was playing her performance, which I really like, because this is not nothing I've seen her do before. And I enjoyed them together. And as far as just two people doing things, it was an enjoyable process. It was that conflict that, for me, if that was even a little bit better, it would be number one. But because I had such a hard time with that conflict and who Sarah was as a human being in this movie, yeah. that's why it takes it to a two. But that two is still pretty safe. I don't think Wedding Veil. I watch Wedding Veil again,
no, never.
We need to be clear. There's a chasm between Wedding Veil and this movie, like at two, like a chasm. Wouldn't you agree?
I mean, this one's definitely better than Wedding Veil.
But I'm just saying that's how bad Wedding Veil is. This is not a testament to how that this movie being good. It's a testimony to how
this
bad Wedding
pretty
Veil.
Bad.
I think that this movie. I don't think that it's that bad. I think that the conflict is so bad. For me, it's right there with Perfect Pairing, which I did. I liked Perfect Pairing, and so it's just right there. But that conflict with Sarah was just so
It's weird. Well, the difference is Perfect Pairing is a bad movie with good leads that leans into its ridiculousness. Like, it leans into Amnesia, Ice Wine, all that stuff. This is a bad movie with good leads that has nothing to lean into and just feels as though they're trying to create a reason for any of us to care. And the Sarah character is one of the biggest wait what's of in the history of us watching this show. I've never seen them just refuse to concur an identity, like refuse to just say
it's the longest we've ever gone in a movie.
And they never actually say it. They never actually say these two people are friends, but they kind of allude to it. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. And the movie's a mess too. The two leads are fine. The two leads are fine. This is bad. This is a bad crop of movies this January. We're putting a lot of stock in the old Butlers.
Butler is going to be great.
By the way, do we have a Butler update with Udemy?
I have not bought the course yet, but I've been getting into the frame of mind, a Butler frame of mind.
So you need a full, like, to marinate in the frame of mind for a little bit.
Yeah, and I've been organizing my wardrobe.
Okay, I want you to do you have time in the next week, if I get you the course, get you the lock-in, could you go on to the Facebook Live in the Double Decker group and just give us a walkthrough?
That'd be great.
Yeah, I would absolutely.
I don't want to put more on your plate because we got the deckies coming up this week. No, we got a lot. Tomorrow. And so
we are. Even though I'm in the middle of a transition, I'm moving. I think I can fit on a Butler.
Yeah.
I will, for the deckies and for our double deckers.
Speaking of the deckies.
Ooh, it's tomorrow night.
9:00 Eastern, 6 Pacific. The rest of those times, figure it out where you live. Again, I don't mean to do the big 9, push. 8
Central, 6 Pacific.
I don't, and Grand Mountain time,
7.
I don't need to do the whole push, like, once again, but time, it's dumb. Let's just sync this sucker up.
9:00.
We're going to be doing that 9:00. Before that, that's going to be at deckthehomework.com/deckies. But before that, I believe at like 8:30 or something like that, we're going to go live to all the platforms.
Pre-show entertainment.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Everybody's, a lot of reporters asking.
Live reporters, red carpet and special. I believe there's going to be some sort of food challenge.
There is a food challenge because we thought before we host an award show, we should do a food challenge.
Yeah, that we saw on a social media ad. So more on that tomorrow, I guess. Tune on in.
Yeah.
It's time for all the feels, or did you have? Were we in the middle of a statement?
No, I think I okay, pretty much great. Covered it. It's a bad movie. The fact that this is number two, there are at least three, if not all five, of last year's January movies are better than this January movie. I'm just trying to think of one that wasn't. Even The Winter Getaway, that I had bottom five last year.
Yeah.
I think is better than this movie. I
can't believe you had Winter Getaway bottom five last year.
I think it's better than this movie.
Yeah. Winter Getaway is by far. I hate Winter Getaway.
I'm just saying, regardless of where you had it from last year, Winter Getaway, which we all had as the worst of the Winterfest movies, is better than this movie, which we have second right now.
Yeah. No.
That is awful.
Last year's crop in January was not awful.
No, two for the win, taking a shot, New Year's resolution.
Those three alone were really solid.
Yeah.
Overall.
Let's get to all the feels. Part of the show we talk about one of those movie gave us feels. Panda.
I think the best scene is when Amelia is talking to her dad, and man, she just cries on command, which is pretty impressive. I think that's a pretty good scene. Also, the bridge scene, a lot of fun there. But I don't think I had anything that like really got me like, you know, choked up or tears or anything like that. It wasn't that kind of movie for me.
Yeah, I think they were trying to play the tearjerker card. It just didn't materialize for me. At all, really.
I didn't feel like she had a real strong connection with her mom. I know that sounds weird.
It never really felt like there was never the moment where the dad tells her that's how your mom met me is supposed to be this moment.
Yeah.
And it just never landed for me. It never landed for me at all.
I won a couple of things. One, I really want her car. She had a really nice, what color would you call that? It was a
orangish red.
It was nice. It made me happy. I kind of wanted that car.
It's like a habanero orange.
Yes. And
it wasn't that orange though. It was a little bit redder than that. It was like, almost like a red
closing pepper. Tabs right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I am. It's too many tabs. Too many tabs.
Too this many tabs. Too many tabs. Yeah, I like the car. And also, as somebody who has had sushi and not liked it, I did find the making of the sushi to be a rather soothing process.
Did you?
I did. I think of the foods to make, sushi seems soothing to make. Getting the seaweed, you're smooth and stuff. Yeah, it just seemed like, I like that.
Quick whip up some sushi.
No, you can't. It's not a quick whip.
It's not a quick whip.
Quick whip sushi. I saw them live.
They were fantastic. Yeah. I had What About Bob feels in this movie. If you've never seen What About Bob, Bill Murray, highly recommend you check it out. He, at one point in What About Bob, he's never been on a sailboat. And so he gets on a sailboat and he finishes sailing and he gets off and he can't believe that he actually sailed. And he keeps going, I sailed. I let the boat do all the work. That's the trick. I sailed. In this movie, she plays basketball with a bunch of 9-year-olds and then says, I played on a team. So good for you, lady. Congratulations. It made me think of What About Bob, a far better viewing experience. That's what I got.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with the Way, What, and the What the Hallmark here on this program, Tech the Hallmark Podcast. I think we can all agree that the NFL overtime rules are dumb.
Yes.
No, they're the most fair overtime rules of any overtime.
It can't be fair if both teams don't get a chance.
If you score a touchdown.
Yeah, both teams don't get a chance. Stop them from scoring
a touchdown.
Yeah, but the other team doesn't have to do that. They get a flippity-flop, and they get
a chance to play defense and stop them and get the ball in good field position.
I don't think it's fair.
The offense doesn't get that chance.
I think both boys should get a chance to do boy things. You know what I mean?
What?
I don't know. Football. Let's go, boys. Let's get this done. Wait, what? Love on the... don't forget I love you.
Don't forget I love you.
Love on ice. Panda, what you got?
First of all, I want to talk about Josh. Josh...
Did you get your tabs?
Yeah, no. Tabs handled.
Good.
Tabs handled.
Makes me feel better.
Phone power up. Full steam ahead.
If you have too many tabs open... It brings your phone power down.
Yeah, it does.
Really?
Drains it a little bit.
How much?
Probably not a lot.
Okay.
But it was enough to make me feel better because my battery's just a skosh low.
Keep
us posted.
Yeah, I will. I'll keep
you up. You don't have to keep me posted. You can just keep
I'm at 32% okay, right now, but you. I should be fine.
Yeah, you really should.
I'm interested to see where you're at on Thursday.
Let's see what happens.
Josh is disorganized to a degree that I am actually concerned about his intellect. Mm-hmm. He has moving boxes all the way in bushes. Like they're jutting out of the bushes. Like just what's happening here in your moving process? I've moved a lot. I'm not the most organized individual, but that has never happened to
there
me.
There was a group of a brain trust making this movie that went, how do we make him look disorganized?
Yeah.
Throw some boxes in the bushes.
Do it.
That's next level for sure.
Yep, it's something. Her company is called Space Right.
No,
Space to Live.
Space to Live. What is space? What is that?
That's on me.
That's the new sci-fi series from Paramount Plus.
Space Right.
RITE.
Ooh, I love it.
It's a Catholic space priest.
No way.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's a Catholic space priest.
Yeah. If you don't get it, you don't get it.
He's helping people connect to the great beyond.
That's right.
The great beyond.
I'll tell you what.
Chills up and down the spine.
Mm. I love that. I don't know if I do. Be honest. The details are still fuzzy.
Yeah, I understand. Space to Live, they have this massive building. Massive.
Big boy building.
There's two people working in this company.
Yeah.
I would assume that there's more people working in the company. We just don't see them, right? I can't believe that a company is that big called Space to Live and they just help people create space. Like this is ironic. The Container Store. But it is very, very ironic that a place called Space to Live has
that much space.
Just so much room. Like they just are like, let's have a big, big building.
Yep. This is my final wait is more just on a personal level and a personal frustration. This is a January movie. There is more fall foliage in this movie than any of the fall movies we got this past year. I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed, Hallmark.
I wrote down new year, new movies, same fall drone shots.
Got
it. Got it.
Speaking of her office at Space More, Space Time Connect.
Space to Live, the space between. Live. The
space between. For some reason in her office, she has two desktop screens that look like from the early 2000s, but that's either here or there. Both of them just have her logo, the company logo on them with nothing else. We never see her doing any computer work. I don't know what those computers are used for. It was a very interesting use. Why not get one bigger screen? You got two small boys. I don't know. I'm baffled by what's going on there.
It's a small company in a 10,000 square foot building.
I don't know what to tell you. Yeah.
She finally says we should exchange numbers, basically. And she hands him her
phone.
And
he puts his number in there.
And then
she says,
I'll text you mine.
Nope.
You don't need to text.
Since you cell phones have text, started you, texting.
You don't need to text your number.
The number will appear. You
when
don't
you
have
text,
to text.
That's right. You just say, text hey, it's me.
That's all you got to do.
It's me.
That's all you got to do.
It's me. I found the whole her playing basketball with 9-year-old scene to be wild on so many levels.
Yes.
One, if I am, I'm just going to be honest. I remember being, playing upward basketball. My dad would bring me to practice and he would be there and be doing the thing. Now that I'm a father, if I'm taking time out of my schedule to take my kid to practice a sport and I have to sit there and watch a grown
30-year-old
human suit up and play and take a shot over children. I'm going to take my child and we're leaving. You are wasting all of our time. And yet, that's not what happens. Instead, she makes a shot on what I don't believe is a full-size basketball goal. And they all cheer for her.
Yeah.
What was that?
Listen,
it was wild.
You guys are with me though, right? Yes, if you're sitting there in a dorm suits up,
but on the
I'm upset.
The flip side of that, yeah, we're all leaving. The flip side of that is on all of these other cards, she tries to cop out.
Yeah.
Tries to tell her, you know, business partner that she loves him. She tries to make a friend with the barista. And every time they're like, no, that doesn't count. But she can just pop in and suit up for the local 8 to 10 year old rec team for 1 minute and that counts? Like the rest of them, no way.
Yep.
But for the join a team one, first of all, if you're 30, you've never been on any team of any kind, what planet are you from? Yep, but second of all, that does not count. There's no way that that counts. And every parent in the stands is going to be like, what's happening right now?
No, they are all in on this. That's all I got. Dan?
There is a long-running bit in this movie about the daughter needing to give an oral presentation. Boy, is that one of the worst parts of this movie. For a number of reasons. But let's start with the fact that they make it out to be this just gigantic deal. And you know what? Kids that young, some of them really have a hard time speaking in public, so that's wonderful. But what they do to coach her through it is they sit in the stands, and Amelia Uhlerup is like, okay, so what animals do you like? She's like, elephants. And she said, what do you like about elephants? Well, they do this, this, this. Well, what about this? And she's like, well, I like them because they're the largest land mammal. And then Amelia Uhlerup says, you know what? You just gave a presentation. No, she didn't. That was a question and answer in the bleachers of her dad's college intramural something pickup league. I don't know. That was not a presentation, but she's going to give one on elephants. And then she comes in like the next scene and she's like, hey, I picked my topic for my presentation. Didn't you just pick elephants? Didn't you just do it? Yep. And then she gives the presentation, and this is my favorite part. This is a great one, just an all-timer. The dad and Amelia Uhlerup are the audience for her to practice her presentation. And she gets up there, and we see her dad clap and go, woo, woo, cup his hands, say absolutely nothing, and then go back down here and say, woo, woo, go back and take it to the tape. He's like, woo, silent, woo. It is one of the wilder scenes I've ever seen. It doesn't make any sense at all, but he did it. Congratulations. Can we talk about the worst green screen in our 4 years watching this?
Oh, yeah. Man.
I just don't know what high school parking lot they filmed this in. They found some AV club at British Columbia High to let them borrow their green screens and their camera. This is awful. Like, there's no way they're not watching this going, we're going to put this on the air right now. It is the worst green screen. They look like they've been color corrected into oblivion. It is clearly just nothing behind them. Wow. Yeah, bad.
Wild out there.
It was bad.
Just need to be ashamed. I've never seen a movie establish the use of a diffuser in a scene in the manner that this movie does it. Do we need to know that she uses a diffuser and in the, you know, probably 200 square foot room she's in, at the speed at which it's going to kill her? Like, she's going to become lavender at that rate. It is really going hard in there. Calm it down. And my last one I'll say for What the Hallmark.
It's time for What the Hallmark, Dan. Thank God. We won't have to wait very long. Let's start with you, Panda. What are you still wondering about?
Really, we've talked about this at length, but the Sarah issue, I'm still confused. Good grief. The two main things I was somewhat confused by. I was confused by Sarah, obviously, and that's the big one. The second one is still, what is her job? Like, I think get it. It's organization, but also container storage. And there was a lot of questions involving that. That's just me, where I was at personally, spiritually with this film. And then, that's where I'll leave it.
So her dad, I'm assuming after retiring, has really gotten into painting.
Yep.
And when you walk into his house, there's just his own paintings everywhere, every square inch. Yes.
I thought
that
was his studio.
It might be.
That's his studio. That's like a studio. That's not his house.
That's not his house.
They have scenes at his house, and then they have scenes at his art studio.
Okay, well, that's so different. He's fully selling. This is his thing now.
Apparently,
great. That's what was my question. Does he have any plans to take the paintings from? Because later on we see his studio, and I felt like it looked different. Like when you walk into his, that first scene with where she walks in and he's got the record player and he pulls the thing out and then they go out back and there's the capsule. That's at his studio?
So that's at his house. The scene at the studio is where all gray.
Well, what I'm saying is that first scene when she walks in, there's his paintings everywhere, like all over the walls, remember?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to know, like,
I thought that was his house.
Is he going to blow up? Like, is, because he's got a lot of art ready to go, ready to rock and roll. There's a lot of art ready to go, is all I'm saying. Dan?
Yeah. We got to talk about Coach Josh.
Yeah, we do.
I am a basketball coach. I also am an educator. I don't know what this guy does for a living. They say it a few times. They say he teaches and he coaches. I can't imagine him doing either. Who is he coaching in that gym? Because the two groups that I see him coaching are his daughter's 8 to 10-year-old rec league team and then a ragtag bunch of 20 to 30-somethings co-ed with orange and blue jerseys playing in the same gym on the same goals as his 9-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
That is not someone who is getting paid to coach basketball. I can promise you that. I don't know all of the specifics, but I can tell you the two groups of people he is in the on the gym floor with, same gym, same baskets, neither of those groups would be considered, you can't call yourself a coach at that point.
Yeah.
One of those groups is it's a children's league.
Right.
I think. And the other group, I mean, looks like it could be anything other than basketball. There are people, men and women, in jerseys that don't fit. None of them look like they've ever held a basketball in their life. They're standing around in like single file lines. They have their hands here or behind them like they're ready for some sort of professional photograph. There's only 8 of them. None of them have names on the jerseys. What does this guy do for a living? What is the basketball affront for?
I appreciate that whatever it is, they're all clearly extras, but they like got one girl on them. They're like, we can't have just one girl.
Tiny women and like 3 overweight dudes. And look, I couldn't pass for a basketball player right now. I know that. Why are we trying this right? Like it was a mess out there.
It was a joy.
We didn't get to see them play really. And that's the biggest.
No, that's what the homework is. I want to see a 4-on-4 with that guy. First one to score wins.
That crew was wild, man. That crew was wild.
It was something.
What if they're like all really good? Actually went to a gym. They found like 2 really good teams and they're just like battling it out. Man, I love that. We did it, everybody. Congratulations. It is time for the Double Decker of the Week. As part of the show, we talk about somebody who has signed up for Brainwave 10 Plus, became a Double Decker. Panda does the deep dive on Google Plus. Not
the deep one. It's the dark one.
Yeah, it's the dark one. And who do we have today?
Christina Parker.
Whoa. Yeah, Christina Parker. Finally.
Yeah, finally. Christina Parker, let me tell you, she has a really important job. She goes around and she makes sure that spinach everywhere is, and people who make spinach and grow it, I should say farmers who grow it, that they're staying on top of things, that they're not letting their spinach go funky. Because you know, spinach, it can get funky sometimes, Dan.
Well, funky is like a wine going bad. It can just go bad.
Yeah,
right?
And then, you know, it gets all sorts of, you get the E. coli, all sorts of stuff. So she goes and she always questions the farmers, make sure that they're staying on top of and growing it really good. It's the Spinach Inquisition, is the name of her company.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
We walked a long way for it, but it was worth it. The old spinach inquisition.
Yeah, any more info about it, or is that it?
She just goes from spinach farm to spinach farm and gives them the third degree.
Yeah, she sure does. No one ever expects it either.
Nobody expects the spinach inquisition.
How many farms that are just, I mean, is this something that
you
spinach
have to sign up for? Like, you can't avoid the spinach inquisition? Or do you have, like, a pass? Like, if you like, grow your spinach a certain way, they won't show up?
No. Everyone. Every single person.
No one is, every spinach farmer across the nation has to report to Christina Parker Spinach Inquisition.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't avoid it. No one sees it coming.
Has it helped keep spinach from going funky?
Well, have you had any funky spinach lately, Dan?
No, I've not.
I would say it's working then.
Typically, spinach is sold and it's not funky. The way it gets funky is people let it go bad, like in their fridge or like.
So you're saying me before the you're spinach. Saying you're saying to me that before the spinach Inquisition, there was just a bunch of batches.
It was
of
like
funky
a wild
spinach.
West out there.
People were buying.
No, but
because a farmer would, if the spinach goes funky, they can't sell it anymore. Who cares at that point?
Now, but also we have what is it, the FDA? The
Food and Drug Administration.
They have guidelines. They wouldn't allow.
The FDA wishes they were the spinach Inquisition. They would try, but they can't get on
Christine's level.
Is
spinach outside of their jurisdiction?
From my understanding, FDA won't touch it. They say won't that's touch just,
so
just
the FDA doesn't
crazy.
Deal in spinach.
No. There's a lot of potholes there with the spinach, a lot of pitfalls. You got to have a pro.
You gotta have a pro. A lot of pitfalls. All right, if you say so.
So the FDA deals with everything
every other
else.
Food and drug.
Not but spinach, they just can't.
They, just, no, they no, kick no. it over to Christine.
Spinach Inquisition.
Thank God. Because without her, it was just.
It was a mess. It was the wild west.
It was
the
wild west
of
spinach.
So like, Department of Health shows up at a restaurant and they're checking to make sure all the food is.
They're looking
spoiled.
At the lettuce. They're like, not sure about it.
Everything's good. Spinach is rotten. They can't do anything about it.
They would sit there. They would say, my hands tied. But you better believe who they're calling next. Spinach Inquisition.
Spinach Inquisition is who they're calling next.
So if they walk in and the spinach is just out of control bad, they would still get an A, though. That wouldn't count against them.
Yeah. They couldn't do anything. They'd sit there, but you better believe. She's coming on in. She's looking at that, and she's like, we're grading that down. That's a solid F.
There's a religious group that does the Caesar salads as well, right? The Romaine Catholics?
Wow, all right. Who knew the greens were? We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, maybe we'll be the first to wish you, eh? Now, guys, wait, good news. Tomorrow, Deck the Light, Tom Uncorked is back, everybody.
Oh, it
is. Last Wednesday of every month. Look forward to it. We're doing Garage Sale Murder, I believe is what it's called. Something like that. Until then, maybe we'll be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas! Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, that Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.